And Ray Ferraro coming up in just a moment, because we caught up with Joe Thornton in the 5 p.m. hour. You can find that podcasted online on tsn1050.ca, or subscribe and check out every hour of every show on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you download your podcasts. You can find Overdrive pretty much everywhere. And it was cool to catch up with Joe Thornton, and he mentioned that his dad was a diehard Leaf fan forever, and then obviously when Thornton was drafted by the Bruins, that had to change, and then when he went to San Jose, he became a Sharks fan, and now he gets to be a Leaf fan again, and hopefully he gets to be in the building, right? Like, that's the great uncertainty, yeah. Is when are the Leafs and the NHL actually going to return to play, and furthermore, when are fans going to be able to get back in the building?
If you guys had to guess, like, I've been all along pretty stubborn with the date January 15th. Do you think I'm off on that? Am I being too generous? Like, are you guys starting to doubt that maybe we're looking at February, or where are you guys at?
I'm thinking Feb 1 now, or that first week of February, like a Wednesday night, the first Wednesday of Feb.
What's the reason for that? Like, that's changed your thinking?
Me, personally? I just feel like there's a lot of smoke out there in the background about how they're going to make it work, the logistics. COVID numbers are up in Ontario and Quebec, and obviously they're still, you know, they're still pretty out of control in the States. So I think they're fine with pushing it back a little bit more, trying to work out the details of the scheduling, maybe these divisional bubbles that we've heard so much about recently, like a Canadian division and the three others. And I think there is a hope, and quite frankly, a need for fans to be in the stands. They need to start making money off ticket sales. So I think it goes without saying, the more you delay, the more likely it becomes that at some point you can get fans in, not for opening night. But if you start in Feb as opposed to in January, maybe your playoffs begin in May as opposed to April, you know, or June instead of May, and then you just bought yourself an extra 2 or 3 weeks where maybe you can get fans in the stands and you can just make more money. Well, that's the only reasoning behind it.
I mean, was it 2012? Was that the 48-game season?
Yeah, 2012-13.
Yeah. I mean, for some reason, I don't know why, I keep thinking we're looking at something like that, maybe 48 to 60 games.
Well, didn't that lockout end in like mid-January too?
Yeah, I want to say January 11th or 18th. I can't remember. I just remember being a part of the glorious New York Islanders fisherman logo, and I don't think it
was back in the mid-90s. Yeah. So they've been down that road twice, and this is, you know, different context, but potentially a similar timeline. Yep. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. And Ray, you would have been on those Islanders team with Noodles, right? Back in 94, 95, I guess?
Yep. We had the one lockout ended, I want to say early, even a little earlier, Noodles, January
8th?
5th, 6th, something like that, you know? And and then we had, I was back in BC. My dad had actually just passed away, and we had to scramble and pack up and get back to New York because we started it. My recollection is we didn't have much time on.
No.
It was like a week training camp, wasn't it? In 2012,
yeah,
like 13,
I think guys were coming in as fast as they could, and you know, the first day we had, I don't know, I'll just make this up, like we had a dozen guys, and then the next day we had 17. You know, like guys were coming in as fast as they can.
Yeah, I think there were still guys in Europe like that were like floating in there. There were a few guys that were eating the whole time, so they barely fit in their jerseys. Like it was it was an absolute gong show. I want to say the opening night, I do remember we lost. I think we lost like 5-2 or something.
That's a safe bet that year, Noodle.
It was a safe bet. But yeah, it was not good. We started very slow and it went south very quickly after that.
Well, this year it'll be different, right? There'll be a full training camp. Like, you know, it's not like they're going to catch guys off guard. They've got to negotiate when to start.
Oh, catch a few guys off guard, Brian. They always do.
That's true. Even the summer, like a conventional season, guys get caught off guard. They're like, wow, it's Labor Day. Yeah. This is
now,
trouble.
One thing to keep in mind is, you know, and I don't know what we're assuming is going to go on or not go on, but the Olympics are supposed to start in July. And, you know, NBC needs all that airtime. So it's not like the finals are going to, at least from what I understand, the finals aren't going to be in, you know, August the 1st. Like, that's not happening. There's nowhere to put the games.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Clearly, the Olympics is going to win out over the Stanley Cup playoffs for NBC, and NBC will make that clear to the NHL. So that might dictate where, I guess, we can work backwards from. You know, Right. Like I would think then that would suggest they want to finish the Cup final by the end of June. Early
well,
July,
even,
like,
even you know, Brian, yeah, I think even if it gets to the 10th, I want to say this year, the Olympics were like the 22nd of July or 25th of July or something mm-hmm. or other. So I'm assuming they just moved it forward, you know, kind of on the same timeline. But that's assuming that there even is an Olympics. Like, far from being a epidemiologist or however the hell you say it, you're going to bring people from all over the world and jam them in an Olympic village? Like, we got a long way to go before
yeah, that's
we get
not
to
a
that.
Lock yet. That is far from a lock that they're going and that they're going to be there and that everyone can qualify. There's still qualifiers that have to take place in order for people to get there. Like, the NBA has basically come out and said we're not going to be there because the NBA is not working on that timeline. They're going to be working on a different one. So maybe the NBA starts even later. I wouldn't be shocked if the NBA started in March, you know, and just keep pushing it back and they play all the way through September or whatever. And, you know, the NHL is on a different timeline, you would assume, because of what you just said. And I got to believe, like, if it were my league, it's easy for me to say it's not my money, it's not my
right.
business dealings. But I would want to be back on schedule next year. Like, I'm sensing from a lot of people that it's just weird that there's no hockey right now in October. Like, the pandemic wiped this one out, and this one is totally understandable. But that means if you got to play 48 games instead of 65 next year, play 48, get it done a bit early, get back on sched, start next year in October, and Seattle will be in the league next year, right? By then, you got to believe, hopefully, vaccines and the pandemic is wiped out. Let's start next October as if we can forget about what happened in the past. That would be ideal.
Man, just think of the layers of complication and detail that have to be worked out to get the whole thing back on the rails again. Like, I can't even imagine how you go about planning it. It's one thing to say, oh, yeah, that's what I want to do. But then you've got to, you know, you've got to make it work somehow. I mean, it was right. Not that it was easy this time, but they had the bubble set up and they, you know, they spent all their time figuring out how to make this bubble world work, and that's not what is going to happen this time. So, you know, how are you? Baseball somehow got through it. You know, like, here they are at the World Series, and you know, they had a pretty rough start. You know, I think it was the Cardinals at one point. They'd played like 8 games, and everyone else had played 20.
Right.
And you know, they got wiped out, and then you know, so like, how are you flying teams around? The border's not open. You know, like, man, it's a lot of stuff to get it back on track, that's for sure.
Yeah, and there's excitement throughout the country, too, I think, with all of the additions that have been made, you know, for all 7 Canadian teams. That doesn't help either, that it's like, okay, it's October, we should be playing hockey, and I kind of want to see Markstrom play for the Flames tonight.
Right.
Or I'd like to see Nate Schmidt play or Joe Thornton. You know,
yeah, in an all-Canadian division, too.
To further that point, in an all-Canadian division. And I'm assuming that the work is done in the country. I mean, there's still some RFAs that I think have to work out deals on a bunch of teams, including here in Toronto. But for the most part, the work is done, right? Like, the 7 Canadian teams, I think they're ready to play, and they've made their moves. And I think for the most part,
unless there's a trade, right? Unless there's a trade, really, is the only thing that can, I think, alter anything now. Like, who's got any room to be bringing in free agents?
Doesn't seem like anybody.
Sorry to interrupt, guys, but that's what I kept thinking about. Like, and Hayes, you alluded to this when we were talking about Joe Thornton and the signing of Joe Thornton, and there was no disrespect to Joe, but I'm looking at Mike Hoffman not having a job. You know, I'm looking at some great players out there still that at the 7th hour might go, you know what, to hell with it, I'll take, you know, I'll sign for a bargain with Team X because that's all they got left on the cap, and I'll be a free agent next summer and go at it again. Like, you might be able to find, you know, a really good player for pennies on the dollar just based on, you know, cap space and the marketplace being completely bone dry.
Well, I'm assuming there's some GMs that are you know, they're not quite capped out, but for all intents and purposes, they are. And they're just sitting right there on the perch, and they're just going to wait and wait and wait and wait, and eventually somebody's going to spring loose. Because these guys are going to want to play, right? Right. They want to play. They're still sitting there. There's nowhere to go. And I would assume, you know, it's not like opportunity is just going to pop up out of nowhere. The next window would be if teams, they got that second buyout window coming up. If a team buys out somebody to free up some space, that might be the next time we see any signings, really.
Well, and Ray, Kyle Dubas mentioned that the Leafs are probably done moving guys or signing guys. I was curious, like, Joe Thornton obviously talked to us, and he talked yesterday to the media that he came to Toronto to win a cup. How likely do you think it is for a team that's never won a round to just in 1 year go and win a cup? Like, how I've been thinking about, like, Tampa and all these teams, like, they go through these, they go two rounds and they go three. We're thinking of the Leafs just going all the way. Does that seem, like, unlikely?
Well, just on history, it does, right? Like, it all of a sudden, you're gonna string together 16 wins.
Yeah,
like that's a long way to go, and it always seems like teams that win fall down before they win. I mean, maybe that's not the case. Maybe somebody can go through and, you know, and look at teams and go, "Oh, this team came from nowhere." But, you know, look at the last few years. Just in the last few years, teams have always fallen down somewhere before they won. And so that's a man. There's lots sparkly about the Leafs to like, and I like their mix of their team better, I think, now, but. Man, lots has to go right to win a couple of rounds. Like, I remember the year we went to the conference finals and we won one game. And when it was all over, everybody's, you know, congratulating us, what a great run and all that, which it was, but we barely got over halfway. Like, it's hard. It's a hard thing to go from nothing to champion. Seems like it's virtually impossible.
Yeah, right. I can't think of examples. Like, maybe Carolina coming out of the lockout, but that was just the weirdest season maybe in NHL history, coming off a year where everything was wiped out. The rules were drastically different. There was a cap all of a sudden, and Carolina wins a cup. But
right.
I think, yeah, you're right. I mean, historically,
but that was 06, right, Brian?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's
14 years, right?
It doesn't happen that way. Generally, it's either teams that have been there and done it already, Chicago, L.A., Pittsburgh, or teams that have been knocking on the door forever, Washington, St. Louis. You know, I mean, there are teams that have been on runs. Vegas went to a cup final their first year. They had never played a playoff game, and all of a sudden they're in a cup final, but they didn't win it. So, yeah, it is asking a lot, and it brings up a point and a question that I'm sure we're going to be debating for a long time between now and the beginning of the season is, what are the expectations? Because it I think last year it was, you got to win rounds. Yeah, but that's it. But can it be a round anymore?
No.
Like, are we really going to play, hey, just get four and then get swept and that's a thumbs up? I don't think so.
No.
Like, at some point, it's almost, you have to put yourself in a cup or bust mode, even though it may be completely unrealistic or just based on history, it shouldn't be applicable.
Well, I don't think the players should think of anything different, but I don't know that that's really the, you know, like, what the barometer for it should be. Like, if they win the first round and you play a hell of a series and lose in round two, like, wouldn't that feel like progress? I mean, it would stink.
It quite literally would be. Yeah, literally would be. But it was supposed to be progress 2 years ago. It's almost like you're catching up on progress.
But we all know you can't go back and fix what's happened, right? We can't change. They can't change that. And the expectation of this team can't be to erase what happened 2 years ago.
They
can only be what they are now, no matter what everybody else thinks. They can only be what they are now.
I think, like, right now we can look at how teams look on paper, but until you actually see a season unfold or teams unfold in chemistry, like, we were talking about how that bottom six looks different for the Leafs, but who's going to be playing where? So, you know, if a guy like Joe Thornton looks like a 32-year-old Joe Thornton and is going to be playing in your third line. And it, now all of a sudden, like, I would reserve my judgment to see what the Leafs look like, you know, against other teams, against other, you know, competition. We had a tough time determining who the best team in Canada was the other day. It was a six-way tie.
Yeah.
Like, and that, you know, that's, so are we, are all six of those teams going cup or bust?
Well,
are
they I mean, I was thinking that just as you brought that up, because I was going to go there. Right. I think Montreal, if they get in, and if they get in, that should be considered a win. They haven't been in a couple of years, although this year I know technically they did, but that's not, they were nowhere close to it in a conventional year.
But how can you, let me jump in, Brian, how can you say they're not better?
Oh, they are better. They are better. Yeah. But they made the playoffs, like legitimately made the playoffs in a few years. So I think if they make the playoffs, that should be a win. If they win a round, it's definitely a win. But I think Toronto, probably Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver all have similar expectations that they have to win rounds, I think. And it's just not possible. I mean, the math alone would suggest the four Western Canadian teams can't do that. You know, right. they're not all going to win a round.
No.
So.
But that's, I guess that's my point. Until I see who they're playing against, how they look this season, if Frederik Andersen looks comfortable again, you know, Jonas, you were talking about whether, you know, maybe if Jack Campbell takes more minutes off Frederik Andersen than we expect, you know, that.
But
type
then
of
you
stuff.
Don't even know if Jack Campbell can like be that guy. Like, there's,
right.
I don't know. Like Ray, when I'm looking at them, Anderson's probably right near the top of my questions. Like, what is he going to do? What about you?
We lost Ray.
Oh, okay. I thought he was just letting that. He was really going to soak that
question
in.
He was thinking about it.
I'm like, I'm really anticipating what he's going to say here about Freddie Anderson. Yeah.
No, I just like that. I'm not trying to skirt the question. It's just if I'm trying to be objective and look at the Leafs team, yeah, they look better on paper, look more balanced. Montreal looks better on paper. You know, Winnipeg looks better on paper, adding Stastny back in. Calgary looks better on paper because they got the goaltender. You know, Edmonton had a couple nice pieces added to their team. Whether it works out or not, same thing. Tyson Barry could look like the Toronto Tyson Barry. He could look like the Colorado Tyson Barry. Same thing with Kyle Turris. He could look like the Nashville Kyle Turris that got bought out, or he could look like the Ottawa. And the same thing in Vancouver. Nate Schmidt can make them forget about Chris Tanev. And maybe Braden Holtby makes them forget about Jacob Markstrom, but we don't know. There's too many question marks right through Canada.
Yeah, there certainly are. But every team also is just dealing with a different makeup, a different sense of urgency. Like in Edmonton, I would think they're thinking, we got to get going here. But they've got both those guys on deals for like six more years.
Yeah,
and
but you can't keep having that, Brian.
No, but like, my point is, though, if let's say they win a round or two, they can be like, all right, we build on that, and we got Ray Ferraro back. They build on that, and then next year we're really going to move through. The Leafs feel like there's more urgency here because Tavares is 30, and Freddie's got 1 year left, and Thornton's here
Riley.
Now for a year. And yeah, you know, so everyone's dealing with a different setup. And I think a different set of expectations doesn't mean they're going to meet them, you know, but
right.
That's
well,
where they're
hey,
at.
Guys, sorry I dropped out there. I don't know if you said this, but outside of Ottawa, is there any Canadian team that, like, about expectation that, like, the playoffs are absolutely the expectation for the other
sure.
six teams?
For sure.
And they can't all get in if there's a Canadian division, right?
Well,
six teams can't make it.
Yep. That's true. If they end up going with top four or whatever, then three of them,
like,
are going to miss.
Then you're going to, you know, people are going to be, you know, like, expectation failure will be, you know, will be in at least half of those teams, it would seem like. The other thing is, like, you, when you bring the players in and, you know, you're in Toronto and Edmonton, there is similarity, of course, around Matthews and McDavid. And at a certain point, I think you get a little, you know, the management will get a little itchy in both places that, hey, we're melting away years of these guys' careers. I know they've got in Edmonton, they've got, I don't know, what, 6 years left on their contracts mm-hmm. or whatever it is, but those years are melting away. And I'm sure, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl aren't saying, oh, that's okay, we'll be better in 3 years. Like, there's some internal urgency, expectation,
hey, let's get going here. I think for a lot of these teams, I mean, what has Matthews got left? 3 years?
He's got four, Ray, and so you take out next year, and suddenly you're looking at three, and you're like, oh.
That's what I'm saying. Comparing it him goes to McDavid and Draisaitl. Exactly. It's they have. It's not that they don't want to win as much as anyone else. Of course they do. But let's say Edmonton makes it and wins a round and is out. You're still like, we got 5 years left of these guys, and they're 23. Like, 5 years locked in with the two best players in the country. You know, like, that's
right.
It just feels like they would be in a different,
well,
maybe level of urgency. And, you know, and they were kind of quote unquote retooling just a year ago.
Right. And to jump on that too, Ray, is, not Ray, Hayes, they haven't signed a 41-year-old. They haven't signed a 37-year-old. You know, like they, and I know you can continue to retool the bottom of your roster, but, you know, doesn't it say, and that's what I think you're talking about, Brian, is they've kind of have reshaped their roster to win now. Like, now it's time, like, and you're going at it, and they feel like they've addressed one of their issues, and maybe that's intangibles or, you know, chemistry in the room, that type of stuff. So it's like, okay, like, we're allowing these young guys to grow, and we've seen that in the last couple of years, but now it's like put up or shut up, or we're going to have to change the dynamic. This team is not a young team anymore. They're going to be with the older guys. They're going to be one of the older teams in the league just from an average standpoint because of the 30-plus.
Brody's 30. Bogosian's 30. Like, it's not just
Freddie's 30. 30. Tavares is 30.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. They're not a young team.
Yeah.
So you better be ready to do
something. That's where the urgency comes from, Brian, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I – and that's just comparing the Leafs to – you know, other teams around the country.
Right.
And anyway, we'll see. All right, buddy. We'll leave it there. World Juniors, they're, I guess, unveiling the sked tonight, Bobby Mack and Duffy. And
yeah, we were up there. I was up early taping my part of the show, and we got something to look forward to. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, and do you think there'll be, like, more players available or more guys pulling back because they want to be available for camps in the NHL?
Well, I think if they're available, the teams would want them to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because the gold medal game is the 6th, I think, or the 5th, something like that. So I would think they would want them to play. The you know, one disadvantage Canada is going to have here is none of their players are playing. Right? Yeah. Like a lot of the European teams, the guys are playing in the Swedish League, or the KHL's going and Finland's going, and you know, that's not the case for a lot of the North American players, of course.
Yeah, so
it's going to be really interesting once they get them to camp and try and get them in game shape when there isn't really a lot of games to be had.
Yep, we're only a couple of months away from that. That'll be good. All right, buddy, we'll leave it there. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you then, guys. Have a good one.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days continue with rates from 0% and free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle purchase in October. MapleToyota.com.